We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
How many people like walking through bookstores? Does anyone like walking through bookstores? All right, I know some of you still walk through the bookstore to find another book, but you have not read any of the books you bought prior to this book, but the one back in 1987. Okay, so what I love is that we all desire to learn more, don't we? We all want to. We want to be studious, right? So we want to have those moments where we're like, you know what? No, I need to learn more. I need to know more. And so we walk through the bookstores. My kids, because of my wife, they will look, no matter where we're on vacation, if they see like a bookstore, an antique bookstore, any bookstore, like bookstore, like they're everywhere. You know, but either way, we stop and we walk through the bookstores. And I don't know if you've ever walked through and you just kind of look at all the topics, but there's one that is like a huge topic in every bookstore, and it's one of the best selling. Can any of you guess that? Self-help. That's right. Because people, they know they need, but they don't want anyone else to help. They want it to be a self-help kind of thing where they can make sure that they grow, but they're growing, you know, like in a closet, right? So they want to make sure that they can keep their dignity and grow at the same time. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? And so as I went through the word, and what I know is that God is constantly asking us to grow. And so we're starting a new series today called Grow, right? Because how many know there are ceilings in our worlds? They're glass ceilings over our head. And if we can learn how to break them, we can continue to grow to a whole nother level, right? We can level up in our world if we're willing to do the hard yards. If we're willing to do what it takes to grow, God will bless it. And so we're going to be digging through a lot of that stuff. And the reason that so many of these bookstores sell so many self-help books is because people understand this. If better is going to come, it has to start within me. People understand that success begins from within. And so as you come to church today, many of you may have come for the very first time, and you're like, wow, this is church? Yeah, do you like our modern stained glass? It's just is what it is. It's a tool. We believe that the gospel is timeless. It does not change. We open the Bible and let it reveal to us the things that need to be corrected within us. We don't open it up with the filter and the lens of our culture and say, wow, this is whack. This is not right. We realize that God's word is inerrant. That means we're errant. And so if we're errant, then we have some growing to do, don't we? And so today we begin this new series called Grow. And how many know we all have room to grow? How many know it's nice when others can help you grow, but most of the time we have to help ourselves by growing through the process? You got to go through it to grow through it, right? And so what we need most of the time is that self-help. And so today I want to begin. We're going to go through a bunch of different topical things that if we can take, if we can understand what the scripture says, if we can apply it to our life, it will give you an opportunity not just to grow in your personal life, not just to grow in your married life, not just to grow in your business life, but to grow in every area of your life. Is anyone interested in this? The rest of you can go to a bookstore and just pick something up and act like you'll read it later. But for those interested, stay with me. You online, stay with me, okay? Because we're going to grow together, all right? Today I want to talk to you about something I'm calling a spirit of excellence. A spirit of excellence. I didn't say a spirit of perfection. We're not going to get perfect this side of heaven. It's a spirit of excellence. And this is a biblical principle that when lived out will bring amazing growth in every area of your life. And you may be thinking, now wait, how could a spirit of excellence make a difference? Either you're good at something or you're not. Has anyone ever heard that? Look, either I'm good at it or I'm not. There's nothing, you know, I can't do anything to change it. Can I tell you the way you carry yourself changes everything? The way you can understand full and well that you're not good at something, but you can still live in a spirit of excellence towards that thing at the level at which you can be excellent at it. Do you understand? Being excellent at something is just doing the best you can with what you have. So when I walk through a church and I go, wow, they do this stuff excellently. When I walk through a business and I go, look at how excellent this place is. It's not because everything's marble. It's because they carry it, they prepare it, they take care of it as if it was gold. The question is, do you take care of your life like it's gold? Because it's priceless. Jesus died on a cross for your life. Let's make something of it. Amen to that? And so, again, this is more than a talent kind of thing. This is a way in which you carry yourself that can break the ceiling over your life. And when I think about the spirit of excellence and how much it's a game changer, I often think about what God's word said about Daniel. Anyone remember the life of Daniel? We're talking about Daniel in the lion's den. We're talking about the Daniel that hung out with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're talking about the Daniel that became famous for the fast. Like, oh, there's a guy that really did a Daniel fast? Yeah, it's in the Bible. But what the Bible says about him was actually speaking to the spirit of excellence that was on his life. Look what it says here in Daniel 6:3. It says, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because what? An excellent spirit was in him. The king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. How many people have only known of realms in movies? Right? But he had such a level of excellence in his life, not that he was perfect at everything, but that he had the spirit and carried himself with such excellence. God was on him. He was in God's hand, so to speak. But it was referred to as the spirit of excellence in him. Do you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? If we know that, then what we know is that God, if he can do it to one, he can do it to another, because God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of principles. He wants you to love him. What does that mean, he's not a respecter of persons? It means he doesn't love me more than he loves you because I'm me. Now, maybe someone in here lives a more blessed life than someone else in here, but it's not because God loves them more, it's because they practice the principles in which God favors. Are you getting that? So I'm helping you understand, as we go through this series, we just have to take hold of the things that can change within us. And today we're doing the spirit of excellence. So it wasn't just that Daniel was talented. It wasn't just that he was likable. It was that an excellent spirit was in him. In fact, when King Belshazzar was concerned and needing someone to fix a problem he had, this was what his queen said about Daniel. Let's read together. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Is there more? Did I skip? Yes. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you the Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? So hold on. Yes, he was a slave. He was a captive. Yet even in his captivity, he had an excellent spirit. He didn't know, no one knows my pain or my struggle or my sorrow. He was like, all right, God, I don't like the hand I was dealt, but you're still God, and I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to carry my life at this level. Can I tell you, you can't change the cards you were dealt, but only you can decide to play with God's hand on the river and see what he does. Everyone folds too soon. And so, I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Someone goes, man, if I had all that, I would be doing well too. But the thing is, God can bring things into your world, and he can unearth things you didn't know that were in you if you would just give him you. If you would let him take the backhoe out and work on your heart. If you would let him, through discipline, show you how to serve, you might unearth some things. You know, I never knew I was going to be a pastor. In fact, I had all sorts of, God, I will do this if. You know what I mean? Like, okay, God, I'll serve you. Yes, I love you. I'll serve you. And then I felt a call to ministry. And it was like, nah, I saw how my parents were hurt in ministry. I don't want to do that. And then I tried to run like Jonah. But then I came back and said, okay, I can't run anymore, and I don't like whales. So what we're going to do is, I will do this if I can lead worship and just be a worship pastor. That's it. That's the level in which I will make it happen. But what I know is that as God continues to take you where you are and work with you where you are, God will continue to go, oh, no, I put that in you too. You didn't know about that, did you? And you're like, oh, man. You know, and then before you know it, you're doing things you never thought you could do. But if you hadn't taken step one, you would have never made it to step five. We're talking about breaking the ceilings over our life just because that teacher told you you'd never be good enough. Just because that parent never spoke encouraging words in your life. Come on, God can do anything in your world, but you got to be willing to step out in faith, yeah? And so Daniel was carrying a spirit of excellence, and that makes all the difference. So the question is this, what does a spirit of excellence do, and how do I grow in it? Isn't that where we're at together? If you're not there, I just fast-forwarded you so you're there with us. Number one, excellence is a choice. Excellence is a choice. It's not just something that you were born with. There are some people who were raised and trained in a disciplined house to have a level of excellence that maybe someone else didn't, but inevitably it's a choice. And it's not perfection. Having a spirit of excellence is a continual process, little progress at a time, right? Colossians 3 says this, whatever you do, what does that cover? Everything. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. As I do, whatever I do, whatever I put my hands to do, I need to do it as I'm doing it to the Lord. And if God is watching me do this, guess what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it halfway. I'm not going to do it either. If I'm doing it, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. And the level in which I can do it with excellence, I'm going to do that. Can I tell you, maybe there are things in my life I can't do excellently. I may be okay with words, but I don't like numbers and they don't like me neither. So there are times in my world where I go, hey, you know what? Excellence for me is having my wife take care of that part of our worlds. It's delegating something that I'm not great at to someone who's good at it. That's living excellently. Do you understand? It's not that I have to hold everything. It's not that I have to do everything. I have to make the best decision with what I have. Okay? And so someone was asking me, because one of the hot topics we talked about was celebrating the differences between men and women, right? Because God created them differently. And that was hot. That was hot. And people were like, I didn't like that. And I was like, well, bring it to God. I sat and had a coffee with him. I'm a good pastor. But the reality is, someone says, well, what about the personality differences? And I said, you know, it's not about personality. It's literally just about how God has ordained headship, and this is the way it works. But do you know how smart I am to enable and see that my wife leads certain areas of our life because she's better at it? And because she sees the scripture the way it is, she's happy to run under the headship of me as I run under the headship of Christ, as we all live in a submissive state. But guess what? She runs so many areas in our life because I understand she's better at it. Somebody should feel a little better about that. So not whatever you do. How am I going to say this? Put it this way. Not everything you do, you're going to feel good at. But whatever I put my hand to do, I'm going to do it as good and as, you know, the best I can, is what I'm getting at. And so this means you carry a spirit of excellence with the stuff you are not naturally good at either. You can make the choice to care about it rather than saying, I'm not good at it, forget it. Right? In essence, a spirit of excellence is simply choosing to care about everything you do. Care about what you look like. Care about how you talk. Care about how you carry yourself, since you carry Christ with you too. Right? And so choose to care about how you do the job. It's not just about winning the job. It's not just about securing the job because you had a better quote. It's about doing the job as if they paid twice as much. It's not about cutting corners. It's whatever you put your hands to do, do it with excellence, right? And so the beginning to a spirit of excellence is choosing to care about the details of life. By doing so, the details of your life will speak well of you. You ever heard that concept that your reputation precedes you? That can be a very positive or negative thing to hear, depending on how you carry yourself. right? 2 Timothy says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I want to make sure, even when I can't do things better than other people, that I do it in a way where I say, God, look, I'm trying my best to improve so that you can approve. I'm just looking to improve so that you can approve. It's not perfection, it's a spirit of excellence, church. So God knows what he made you good at and what is not in your wheelhouse. When I do my best at something that I'm not good at, God still sees that I tried my best and worked harder this time to be a little bit better than I was last time. I want God to approve of me because I've put in the work to improve. You get that? Number two, excellence is a discipleship or is a discipline. I'm just realizing I don't have a clock, so you guys are going to go along for the ride. So good. I love when they give me that kind of power. So excellence is a discipline. It's not only a choice, but it's a discipline. First, we have to make the choice that we will begin living in that life, a life that cares, right, about how we handle our lives. But secondly, we work on continually growing in it. It's not the same. It's not that some are gifted and some aren't. Some just work harder at it. Okay, and so to choose to raise your level of thinking, to choose to raise your level in how you carry yourself, how you talk, how you dress, how you lead your life, it all matters. And it's more than just staying positive. It's having the discipline to not live in the negative. There are going to be things that would want to just bring you down, crush your spirit, change your attitude, and affect not only you, but everyone around you. But having a life of excellence is choosing, yes, that hurts, and God, I'm gonna need your help there, but I'm not sinking the ship just because of my feelings and my emotions. I'm gonna live above my emotions. They exist, I'm gonna have to deal with them. I'm gonna deal with them punching my pillow and crying out to God and having a moment with him alone, but I'm not going to ruin the atmosphere because of my loss. The most mature people are the people that have seen a lot of stuff, they've been through a lot of stuff, but you wouldn't really know it unless you were a deep friend of theirs that they allow to get into that circle. It's not because we're acting like things don't exist, it's just realizing not everyone needs to know they exist. Why won't I get a promotion? Maybe it's because you wear your emotions on your sleeve and they can't trust you in a next level position. Maybe the way in which you carry yourself when they ask you to do something, they couldn't trust you to ask someone else to do it because of the way you'd say it. A level of excellence affects every area of our life. Are you getting this, church? So through discipline, a spirit of excellence will elevate your thinking. Look at Philippians 4. It says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's not that the other stuff doesn't exist, but think about these things. It's not that you won't run into this stuff in your life, but think about these things. It's not that you can't deal with the other things, but let's make it a habit to grow by thinking about these things. Okay? I'll keep moving if you got it. So, how many know it's so much easier to just not care sometimes? Oh, man. I know it's fun to sing the songs that make you forget that you have any responsibility. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the songs that are like, you know, forget about everything, go ahead and live on easy streets, the ones that just make you happy. But those that are writing the songs don't even live that life. Oh, man, it'd be awesome just to play the guitar and travel the world and like just think about nothing. And just do nothing, just like whatever happens today. You know the schedules these people care. You sing the songs like they have a different life, but if they had that life, they wouldn't be where they are. You're like, oh man, it'd be so easy just not to care. Anyone that's successful cares. Anyone that's successful has a routine. Anyone that's successful has things they don't want to do in life that they do in life. You're going to show up and you're going to be at that rehearsal. We're going to do this show. You're going to do two shows tomorrow. We're going to fly there and you're going to be up at 3 a.m. to fly there. And they're like, what happened about the not caring song I wrote? Because I have to care a lot now. A spirit of excellence is understanding that if you're going to go to the next level, sing the song for fun, but just know no one's living it if they're successful. Okay, I know it seems attractive to conform to how the rest of the world thinks or acts, but it will never get you ahead. Not in the way that God blesses. So instead, we must discipline ourselves to live above the mainstream. Look at this scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Good and acceptable and perfect. It's not that you are perfect, but you live in a level of excellence in which is good and acceptable. God perfects us. We can't make ourselves perfect. If we were perfect, we didn't need Jesus. But Jesus has become our perfecter because we're imperfect. Jesus has become our savior because we needed saving. Right? But I'm going to live a life that honors what he did for me in every area of my life. Number three, because they figured out the clock. Excellence is a separator. No, they're great. I just love to joke them back there. I'll buy you a coffee later, Mitchell. Forgive me the extra time. Give me 10 more minutes, I'll slip into 20. Oh, is that not supposed to say that in church? All right, number three, excellence is a separator. And I didn't spell that word right. How do you like that? Jess Witt, where are you? Check this out. What separates the successful from the rest is not just opportunity, it's what they do with the opportunity. Look, you have to be able to laugh off the things you're not good at. Like, I care that that's wrong. But maybe it's not the thing I'm best at. And maybe that's why I'm pleading the blood of Jesus for Jess Witt and her two babies. Josh, you gotta take one for the team, buddy. Now they're like, is he doing this on purpose to bring it up every week? No, I need help. So excellence is a separator. We know some in life who are where they are from who they know. Isn't that frustrating? But it's true. They are where they are because someone they knew. But we know so many Cinderella stories of those who have found it, have found themselves in amazing positions just because they were willing to work hard and strive to be better each day. We glorify the Cinderella story over the who somebody knew story, don't we? We get encouraged about that. And so amazing positions, they come for those that are willing to work at it. And so if you're lucky enough to be that successful just because of someone you know and you're well connected, let me just say, we're so happy for you. But if you're like the rest of the world, you will need a spirit of excellence to separate you from the rest. Daniel was separated from the rest because of the spirit of excellence that he carried. It was within him. He had to have the discipline to do what wasn't easy to keep the spirits about him. And so you remember when Daniel chose to separate himself, right? They're preparing to see who was going to work with the king, who's going to be in the courts. And they're all offered the food off of the king's table, but the food is unclean to these Hebrews. And so what do they say? The Jews, they say, Daniel says, I don't want to defile myself, so actually just bring me water and veggies. That's where the Daniel fast came from. He refused to eat the king's table in an honoring way, not dishonoring the king, but honoring God. And actually, he chose to separate himself and stay excellent as the way that God sees him, right? Sometimes it's not that what you may be doing is horrible. It's just you realize, no, I don't think God would be pleased with that. So I'm just not going to do that, right? And so it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So he ends up separating himself, and he ends up eating the veggies and the water with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And so Daniel and his three friends chose to live a life of excellence and separated themselves. He activated discipline to grow in pleasing God. You know how many people would have been like, sweet, I get to eat off the king's table. I get to finally have that lamb chop. I get to finally have that wine. Yeah, come on, bring it. I must be in favor with God. It's like, no, they knew that that was actually against what God was going to do and what God wanted them, and they were willing to separate themselves for the sake of keeping an excellent spirit before God. Number four, excellence is an accelerator. Look, you have to have the discipline to do it. You got to make that choice to be disciplined. We also have to realize that it separates us, but it doesn't just separate us. It accelerates us into our future. It accelerates us. And so Daniel, it says this in the first chapter. It says, now at the end of the days when the king had said they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names ended up being changed into, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Therefore, they served before the king. They went from being captives to, deciding to separate themselves by what they ate to honor God. And then before they knew it, they were accelerated into a future that they wouldn't have had without it. God's favor can accelerate your life. But are you doing what he favors? So when you see someone's career take off, when you see people maybe in the church world get fast-tracked to places of leadership, it's a direct effect of the acceleration of excellence in God's favor. Okay? So when you take care of the way you think, the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, the way you look, the way that you manage your life and your business, it accelerates your opportunities. Daniel went from competing for a position to serve to being accelerated to the top of his class. Right? So the spirit of excellence separates and accelerated Daniel's life. Number five, excellence is a promoter. It promotes you. It doesn't just accelerate, it promotes. Daniel 2, it says this, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men. So he went just from serving in the king's group to now leading. It will promote you, but you've got to do the hard yards and have a spirit of excellence about you. Proverbs 12 says this, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Number six, excellence is a multiplier. And we'll finish this with this. Look at, excellence will multiply opportunities in your life. It will multiply opportunities in your life. There are some people I've sat down with and spoken with, and they're in this amazing position in life where they're having to make decisions. But it's not about like whether to accept a job, it's about which job to accept. Because they've got a plethora of options. And these people are throwing this kind of money, and these people are throwing this kind of money, and they're saying, look, I could just make a decision, but I want to continue to make the decisions God blesses. I want to be where God wants me to be. Can I tell you the way in which these people carry themselves? They live a life of excellence. Not because they're excellent at everything, but because they have the spirit of excellence within them. And because of that, it's offered crazy amount of opportunities. And that's what I want to tell you. If you activate this in your life, you will begin to see a multiplied effect. Because guess what? Everyone wants an excellent person on their team. Everybody wants an excellent person, on their payroll. Everyone wants an excellent person as a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law. Everyone wants an excellent person as part of the family. They want that spirit around them. And you have the choice to activate it in your life. Are you hearing this, church? A spirit of excellence is attractive in every area of life. There's a whole bunch of more scriptures I would like to read. Talking about those who choose not to live excellently. What does it say in Proverbs? A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And 1 Samuel 2:7, the Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. Who exalts? Who's the promoter? So maybe I want to live a way in a life that God can promote. Daniel 2:21, he changes the times and seasons, talking about God. He removes kings and establishes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. If God is the one that can promote, if he is the one that can elevate, if he is the one that can help break the ceiling, I want to do the things that he will bless. And that's your choice and my choice.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.